Welcome to the Sleeper Wire Show. It is the end of the regular season, start to the playoffs Monday edition. I'm your host, Jason, and with me, as always, is Max. You can find me on Twitter at FLDrMilbarge and Max at MaxSW23. Max, what's going on, man?
Not much. Just got knocked out of the playoffs in one league. I'm a nail biter. I have Tyler Lockett tonight, but unless he drops 50, I just don't see it happening. And, I made the playoffs in a few others. We are here to help the fans figure out who they need for this playoff push.
Yeah, and that's the thing we were talking about. It's funny because we're kind of keeping an eye on the game tonight because we're both in multiple leagues. We're trying to get into playoffs in some, and we're in playoffs for sure in others and out completely. And, I'm looking at Chris Carson getting hurt and then coming back into the game and getting a touchdown, and it made me happy. But then I realized I needed Russell Wilson in another league that I care about, and it makes me sad. It's just when you have multiple leagues, it's the highs and lows anytime a player you own scores and keeps another player you own from scoring.
If Tyler Lockett gets 52 points tonight, I'm back in the playoffs. But if Tyler Lockett gets over 20, I'm getting a loss.
Yeah.
It's a rough spot.
And then you start thinking about, well, okay, which league do I care more about? Which one has more bragging rights?
Exactly. That's the issue.
Does this one have money? And that's the issue. But we are going to have a nice, tight, short show for a couple of reasons. First, Max is a huge Seahawks fan. He wants to get to watch them play the Vikings. We're going to try and get through this so he can do that. Second, we're going to get you in and get you out so you know what you need to do to get ready for your playoff matchups. But before we get in, the thing I want to mention is Pristine Auction. Pristine Auction is the perfect place to get authentic autographed sports memorabilia. New members can use the code SLEEPERWIRE at sign up and they get $5 off their first purchase. If you like this show, you love what we do, if you want to help us out, you can take that $5 you saved at Pristine Auction. You can donate it to Rob and our charity. We are a 501c3 charity, helps fight Lyme disease and help Rob out get his medical treatments he needs to live a good life. All right, so now with that said, we are going to get into the news. Jaguars announced this afternoon that Gardner Minshew will start versus the Chargers. Foles will be his backup. Max, I assume you think this is going to be the right move. Do you remember another bust free agent pickup of this proportion?
Matt Flynn for the Seahawks was a pretty big bust. Orlovsky, I'm probably saying his name wrong, from the Broncos. I was screaming that he's not good. He's not good. Then the Texans signed him for essentially all of their cap space, and he was terrible. Now, with Nick Foles, this isn't as much of a bust as I think he's still hurt. He's a better quarterback than he was showing. He's not mobile enough for that offensive line because it's not good enough for him. But that being said, I think he rushed back because he was afraid he was losing his job to Minshew. And I think that bit him in the ass.
Yeah, I mean, it was a damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you're hurt and you come back and you don't play well, you lose your job to Minshew. If you stay out and Minshew keeps playing well, you lose your job to Minshew. I mean, honestly, especially with that offensive line playing as bad as they are, Minshew is probably the better guy for the job. He's mobile. He can get out of the pocket. He came in and gave them a spark. Now, he did have that interception at the end zone yesterday that kind of hurt him, but he also got them their only touchdown. D.D. Westbrook looked good when Minshew played. D.J. Chark, his stock rises now that Minshew is back in the game. Next year, Nick Foles is on the books for $21 million. If they cut him, all of that money is a cap hit. He's going to be on the team next year. With that said, is he still benched? Is he benched the rest of the season all the way through next year?
I could see him getting traded. Denver doesn't mind wasting money on quarterbacks. Miami needs a quarterback desperately. Fitzpatrick can only get beat up for so long. It's one of those things where they'll probably pull a Texans where it's like, hey, here is Nick Foles, a fourth round pick, and we'll pay $10 million.
Yeah.
That'll be one of the situations. Unless, Nick Foles shows up and he's great. But he's not the only guy who almost lost his... Oh, he lost his job. But Philip Rivers, they were talking about him losing his job. Now, the thing there is, like, Minshew's good, but he's not great. So Nick Foles could earn that spot back. When he's fully healthy, things can happen. Tyrod Taylor is sitting in the wings for the Chargers. Tyrod Taylor deserves a starting job. Do you think there's a possibility of Rivers getting benched?
I think so. I mean, 8 interceptions the last 3 games. They've lost every game they've lost this year has been by 1 score or less. And a couple of those were directly related to Philip Rivers. He threw a really bad interception on first down inside the 10-yard line against the Chiefs. He got impatient. You know, I could see them benching him. He hasn't played all that well this year, mostly because it's a lost season for them anyway. See what you have in Tyrod, see how he worked their scheme. I can see them benching him, but I honestly don't think Tyrod's the guy. If they're going to get rid of him, they need somebody young.
And the other, yeah, I agree with you, but the other issue with benching Philip Rivers too is he's not Eli Manning. Philip Rivers has consistently been good his entire career. This is the first quote-unquote down year, but realistically, it's not even that down of a year. It's just very poor decision-making. I don't know if that has to do with the O-line maybe being bad. Like, it's very out of character for Philip Rivers to be playing as bad as he's currently playing.
I agree. It just might be age. It's finally catching up to him. It is interesting to me that the guy that is replacing Drew Brees is falling apart before Drew Brees.
Yeah, well, Drew Brees is a first-round ballot Hall of Famer. Philip Rivers is a, hey, he was good.
Matt Patricia has announced that TJ Hockenson is going to the IR with an ankle injury. Is there anybody on the waiver wire that you would target at tight end to replace Hockenson? I know it's a crapshoot. Is there anybody out there this week that you could look at and say, that's the guy I want?
Higbee looked nice. If you're starting Hockenson, you're probably already screwed. You're already getting zeros at that position. But Higbee is an option. Hollister for the Seahawks. Jesse James got some action.
Yeah, it was kind of a trick question. I don't think anybody who's made the playoffs has relied on TJ Hockenson.
Just like, really, but I'm trying, but
it is a wasteland at the position. So, you know, on plus matchups, I can see people picking up Hockenson. But you're right. You weren't starting him if you made the playoffs. Sam Darnold had a knee injury and bruised ribs after the game on Sunday. Adam Gase seemed to indicate he will be fine. I think it was more bruised egos for losing to the Bengals. With this game against one of the worst defenses, a team that hadn't won a game, can you trust Sam Darnold against the Dolphins this upcoming week in your playoffs?
I mean, yes, because the Dolphins will beat you, but they'll still allow points. This was a very odd week, though, because I can't blame Sam Darnold, because even the defense was terrible. I feel like the Bengals really just rallied around Andy Dalton. Like, I think that's just what happened.
I think the biggest problem for Sam Darnold this week is that he had to throw the ball 48 times. You know, Lev Bell carried it, 13 times for 31 yards or something like that. And, you know, they were down early and often. And Sam Darnold at this point in his career is not a guy you want to throw the ball 48 times in any game. So I think more than anything, it was game script for Sam Darnold. And like you said, the Bengals came out and showed up for Andy Dalton, who got to actually start a game. I can't believe we're at a point where Andy Dalton is having to beat out nobody.
It's ridiculous because, like, I've never been an Andy Dalton fan, but his numbers this year weren't bad. He was playing with his receivers have developed, so I can't call them scrubs now, but they were scrubs. They were no ones. Tyler Boyd, he's a number 3 on most teams. That O-line is literally, I think, a Pop Warner team could be as good as that O-line. But Sam Darnold, like, Lev Bell had a couple big runs called back. The Jets were plagued with penalties. They just looked poorly coached. And I think those are two organizations who could use new head coaches and new GMs.
It's tough to fire Zach Taylor after one season. A 1-15, you know, will do that to you, potentially. But it's tough to fire him under the circumstances of their first-round picks getting hurt, their offensive lines being atrocious. So I can see Zach Taylor keeping his job, but Adam Gase doesn't deserve to be in this league as anything more than a towel boy, the way he's coached both the Dolphins and the Jets over the last 2 years. That guy has hung on to his position because he was Peyton Manning's best friend in Denver, and I don't get it.
Now, Peyton Manning is a coach I would love, or as a guy I'd love to see coaching the NFL. Could you imagine, like, everyone thinks Tony Romo was a god in the booth. Peyton Manning would outshine any defensive coordinator on the other side of the field. It would be amazing to watch.
I think the biggest issue there is he demand as much perfection as he put, as much dedication and as much perfection from every player on his team that he put into every game. And I don't think everybody has that drive. And well, I think that would be a detriment to his team.
But that's the Jay Gruden thing, though. Jay Gruden, when the Raiders get their ass kicked, his team still plays hard. And he says, I demand that out of you. I don't care how much we're losing by. You're here to play. And, like, I think Peyton would fall in the Jay Gruden-esque line, but be a better coach. But we should move on. We're wasting too much time on bad teams.
Andy Reid says there's a good chance Darrell Williams doesn't play this week. He also said that he has to keep McCoy on a snap count due to his age. With Damian Williams still hurt, and they announced early that he was hurt. It wasn't like they announced it the day of that he was out. They said it early. To me, that means he was hurt enough that he might not play again next week. Do you think it's time to look at Darwin Thompson?
Yeah. Any running back in that backfield will get some sort of work. And if you were like me in one league, I have Damian and Darrell. Damian went down, Darrell goes in. I'm fine with that. Couldn't get McCoy. He was taken. He was actually drafted, and the guy just never let go of him. He's the next one up. He's going to get work. And if McCoy is on a snap count. Like, I can't say Reed's lying because McCoy isn't putting in as much work as you think he should.
Yeah, he looks good when he's on the field, but they pull him off the field often. They also sat him at home one game just said he's old, which is something I haven't seen from any NFL player ever. They're just like, hey, that guy's old, so we're just going to let him stay home today.
I think it's, one, his, what is he, 32, 33?
Yeah.
So he is older. His finesse style playing definitely, like, is going to be rough on the joints. And it's kind of crazy saying a 33-year-old's old, but in the NFL, that's like 60.
Sorry, he's 31.
Oh, then it's 52. Yeah, but regardless, Andy Reid is, in his mind, is playoff push. He needs a healthy team. Andy Reid never has healthy players in the playoffs. And if he's looking to lean on LeSean McCoy in the playoffs, which I 100% think he is, he's going to want to keep him healthy in this regular season.
Well, not to mention, Darwin Thompson showed out a bit in the preseason, and then you hardly ever heard his name again. He was a candidate to actually come out at the end of the season and play well, and injuries may give him a chance to do that. There were a couple of first-year guys that we thought maybe would get some run towards the end of the season. Darwin Thompson was one of them, Damian Harris from New England, and Justice Hill from the Ravens. And of the three, it looks like Darwin Thompson finally may potentially have a little foot in the door there to get some play. So he's a guy to keep an eye on the next week or so. If a couple of guys are out, he may be a sneaky start. Finally, with the news, we're going to end with Josh Jacobs has and has been playing with a fractured shoulder since week 7. Now, there's not a lot of fantasy implications there because he's been playing well. Maybe it's one of the reasons why he's not catching the ball out of the backfield. He can't get his arms up to catch the ball. I don't know.
That explains so much. Why would you do that to your running back in a lost season?
I mean, up until yesterday, it wasn't necessarily a lost season. Yesterday, if they had won, they'd be tied for the division. It wasn't necessarily a lost season, and that's probably why. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know why you do that.
I just view the Raiders as forever a lost season.
That's so probably that be, it.
That's probably on me. But they have actual depth at running back. And so even if it's not a lost season, like, Washington's a fine running back. He's not Jacobs. Jacobs is kind of a freak. But he's Washington serviceable. I can't remember the other guy's name. Oh, man. It doesn't matter. If I had a guy who I was going to lean on.
Rashard.
Oh, Rashard. Yes, Rashard. Washington and Rashard are both very serviceable. Play them both. Get Jacobs healthy for the potential playoff push if the season isn't lost. To me, that's just kind of stupid. Oh, your shoulder's broken, but it's not that bad? All right, cool. We'll keep playing you. So week 14, you can shatter your shoulder, and now we're screwed for the playoffs because we don't have our starting running back.
Yeah, I have a tough time with coaches that play their guys that are significantly hurt, especially, your first round running back that you're going to rely on for years and years and years. Let's keep him in games and potentially hurt him for his career versus one potential season.
Now, I did hear a stat when I was watching the Oakland game that Jacobs is their first 1,000-yard running back. Did Darren McFadden never get 1,000 yards?
No, he didn't.
Wow. I
don't know if it's not his. So I think the stat you heard, it's not the first 1,000-yard running back ever. It's the first 1,000-yard running back, first 1,000-yard rookie running back. So it surprised me that Bo Jackson didn't do it.
I thought it was last decade.
So there might have been two stats, but the stat I heard is it's his first 1,000-yard running back for a rookie in Raiders history.
Wild. Because they've had the Raiders, I will say, they're kind of like Miami as of late. The Raiders have produced some fantastic running backs who don't really do much there. I mean, Bo Jackson, obviously, great. But, like, Darren McFadden, even when he went to the Cowboys, was great. Latavius Murray, when he gets the starting job somewhere, fantastic. And now Josh Jacobs. Like, they know what talent is. They just don't necessarily use it right.
So that'll close out the news. We're going to move into another segment here, and it's called Can You Trust Them? So going into the playoffs, there's these monster teams, and you know in your league, you've seen the monster team. They've only lost one game. They've got all the best players. They hit first, second, third round, didn't have a dud in the bunch. And then there's everybody else. And if you're one of the everyone else category and you weren't lucky enough to get Lamar Jackson late, so you're now streaming quarterbacks. If you drafted David Johnson first round, Juju Smith-Schuster in the second round, and somehow still got yourself into the playoffs through trades and waiver wire pickups, here's some guys that aren't studs, but they've gotten you the postseason. And now that you're there, can you trust them? So we're going to start with quarterbacks and Ryan Tannehill.
Yes.
It's up. Yes. Well, hold on. Hold on. Let's talk about it first. His upcoming schedule is Oakland, Houston, and New Orleans. So he's averaged 2 touchdowns in the air, and he's got 2 touchdowns on the ground in his last 3 games. With that schedule, with those stats, with the way he's playing with Tennessee, can you trust him?
All right, Sleeper Wire faithful, time to dig into the memory bank. I have always said Ryan Tannehill is a good quarterback. Always. Even in his worst years in Miami, said he was a good quarterback. This team is great. They're going firing in all cylinders. With these matchups will be tough. Houston is a good defense. I think Tennessee will handle them, to be completely honest. New Orleans, Tennessee will lose. But I expect 2 touchdowns, 250. Yeah, I could see that. That'd be a solid 20-point week for you.
So he's got Oakland and Houston. To me, those are 2-plus matchups for quarterbacks, especially with Tannehill. Who's got some legs. He can get some yards on the ground in Houston. He can escape the pass rush a little bit. I think those 2 games are plus matchups. New Orleans is a tough matchup, but you get 2 solid weeks in your playoffs, and then you can look for another quarterback for your 3rd game if you have to. I think you can trust Tannehill going forward, at least Oakland and Houston.
If I could say this too, with the Saints, it is a tough matchup. The secondary is extremely good. Tannehill is a quarterback who truly does spread the ball around. That will help him against a team like the Saints, because the Saints have really good corners, a nice safety, but Tannehill knows how to spread the ball around. He doesn't just pick favorites, so that's going to help him. So if there's no one, if it's him or like Sam Darnold on the wire or Minshew, I'm going to go Tannehill.
So we're going to move into our second quarterback. It's Ryan Fitzpatrick, the bearded wonder. Now, his schedule upcoming is juicy. He's got the Jets, the Giants, and Cincinnati. Against the Eagles secondary, 365 yards, 3 touchdowns. Guy doesn't give a shit. He wants to win, and he wants to throw the ball. When he's winning, he's smiling. When he's losing, he's smiling. He loves the game of football. Fitzpatrick, for me, is the streamer for the playoffs. Max, can you trust him?
No. And it's not because of him. It's because of his team. I do Ryan Tannehill the first 2 weeks. And I actually, after the way watching Cincinnati just played, I have to see Cincinnati the next 2 weeks. Because the O-line for Miami is terrible. They got lucky with the Eagles. The Eagles secondary is literally just backups. Everyone's hurt. Fitzpatrick is a baller. Me and you have showed serious love for Fitzpatrick. Even like wondering, like, man, if this guy was on a good team ever, what would have happened? It's not him. It's the team I'm worried about. And the team is just real bad.
Yeah. You know what, though? With Fitzpatrick, I think I'm taking a chance on him. The Jets just showed by the Bengals that their defense can't be trusted. The Giants haven't stopped anybody. And Cincinnati's had one good week and will have nothing to play for week 16. The Dolphins won't have anything to play for either, but Fitzpatrick will for sure be playing hard because he's just looking for his next team and his next job. Next quarterback we're going to talk about is Matt Ryan. He's got Carolina, San Francisco, and Jacksonville. Only 3 touchdowns in his last 3 games, still averaging over 300 yards a game. Julio Jones is coming back this week. Carolina seems like a juicy matchup, but Max, do you trust him?
Against Carolina, yeah. That'll be a good points matchup. Carolina's defense kind of just lets anything happen, and their offense really has to struggle back. So Kyle Allen would be a good start, too. Just throwing that out there. But yes, I trust Matt Ryan this week.
Yeah, I think this is the last week I can trust him. He does get Carolina. That's not a bad matchup. But then he ends up with San Francisco. Can't trust it. Jacksonville, they're not as good as they've been in years past, but I can't trust it. I can't trust Matt Ryan against that secondary. You got one game left of Matt Ryan. Then maybe you'll look to our next quarterback, Jameis Winston. He's got Indianapolis, Detroit, and Houston. It's one of the easiest schedules left for quarterbacks. Now, he's got 5 touchdowns in his last 3 games. He had none this week against the Jaguars. The thing about the Jaguars game is they got up 25-0 early. He didn't have to do much. He played a good NFL game, but a bad fantasy football game, if that makes sense. Which is usually the opposite of what he does, where he throws 4 interceptions and 4 touchdowns, and you still end up with 20-plus points. Knowing he's playing Indianapolis, then Detroit, and then Houston, do you trust Jameis Winston?
He's the only quarterback in the NFL who gives less of a fuck than Fitzpatrick. So, of course, I trust him. Terrible secondaries with a kid who just wants to throw the ball deep to his 2 stud wide receivers. Of course.
So the first guy we're going to start with, he was a star this week. 10 carries, 129 yards, 2 touchdowns. It's Darius Geis. Now, his playoff schedule, not so forgiving in the first 2 weeks. It's Green Bay and Philadelphia, and then it eases up a bit with the New York Giants. Was 10 for 129 and 2 touchdowns a fluke against a bad run D? By the way, Carolina's allowed 22 rushing touchdowns this year. Ouch. Or is this the guy that the Redskins were hoping he'd be?
It's a little bit of country, a little bit of rock and roll. The median between last week and this week is what you should expect. 12 points. He burned me. I didn't start. I started him last week, burned me. Didn't start him this week, did well. 10 carries is not enough to justify someone being, this is what you're going to get. And they have 3 very talented running backs. I think he is developing into what they expect from him and what they want him to be, but I wouldn't trust him. I just wouldn't. Until he goes against the Giants. But even then, they might just rest him because it's the end of the season and run AP into the ground.
Yeah, and to mention AP, he had 13 carries, 99 yards, and a touchdown. It's not like Geis was the only one carving up that defense. I didn't trust him before the game. I'm not going to trust him for my playoffs. George will probably be mad at me, another Sleeper Wire guy. He loves Geis. He's been a truther. You know, he sees this as his coming out party. But for me, it was a potentially decent running back going against the worst running defense in the league. And now you're going to be playing Green Bay and Philly. So I don't want any part of that until championship week against the Giants. Nick Chubb's a guy that's been on a downward spiral a bit. Kareem Hunt's taken over a little bit of his touches. He had 2 bad games against the Steelers and 1 good game against Miami. He has great matchups in 2 of the last 3 weeks, Cincinnati, Arizona, and then he gets Baltimore. Nick Chubb, so this last game, they were down most of the time, so it was definitely a Hunt situation. It was a negative game script for him. Against Cincinnati and Arizona, it should be a positive game script. They should be ahead. They should run somebody like Chubb multiple times. So, Max, Nick Chubb, do you trust him?
All right, well, I don't trust the Browns. They've been kind of a very fluky team themselves this year. So, as an RB1 or 2, no, I don't. I said it in the preseason, Kareem Hunt's going to come in, and he's going to take a lot of work from Chubb, and I've been proven right. He's a flex. He's a low-end RB3 flex. If that's what you need, perfect. If you drafted him to be your RB1, I just don't see it happening. Kareem Hunt is a top-5 running back. Nick Chubb is a top-15 running back. They clearly trust Hunt more than Chubb, and he's more talented. I like Chubb. Nothing against the dude. As a flex, great. That's about it.
See, I still have a different take on him, especially in the upcoming 2 weeks. I think in games where they're behind, Hunt's going to be in more often. They're going to need him to catch the ball out of the backfield to try and make a comeback. But I think in the next two games, when you've got Arizona, when you've got Cincinnati and Arizona, you should be up. And in those cases, you're going to need somebody like Chubb who can just run the ball 5 yards at a clip, keep moving the chains. So, I trust him. You don't. We'll see how that goes going forward through the playoffs. So I added the Colts running backs plural here. Jordan Wilkins came in, took a lot of what Jonathan Williams did, and took a lot of the carries this week. They're also talking about Mac being back for this game against Tampa. Do you trust anyone not named Mac in this Colts backfield?
All right. This was a rough game for them. I still like Williams. I haven't seen that Mac was coming back. If Mac comes back, the only person I trust is Hines. That's it. Besides Mac, because Mac's a stud. But, I mean, if he's out, I'd still run him with Williams. They still gave him work. There just wasn't much for him to get. The D-line ate everything. And it really wasn't on him when you're getting met at the line of scrimmage every single time.
So for me, the answer is, besides Mac, and even in Mac's case the next 2 weeks, the answer is no, I don't trust him. They're going against Tampa, who last I looked was number 3 against the run, susceptible to the pass. And then they go into New Orleans, who was one of the top-ranked teams against the run as well. Really two tough matchups. And then hopefully Mac's healthy 100% and you have him for Carolina. But that's not a guy that's going to help you, because you may not be the team that has Mac. And your only shot in that backfield is a guy like Williams or a guy like Wilkins. And you're not going to get Mac to play for you. So for me, if I'm looking at this, the two guys that I could potentially have in my backfield, if I'm a mediocre playoff team or a playoff team trying to make a push to beat one of the top giants, I don't trust them.
Am I wrong by thinking Hines is their scat back?
He is. He's their third down guy. But I don't. And he's not a bad guy to own, especially if Mac's been hurt and he has a broken hand, can't catch the ball, doesn't catch the ball anyway. But when Mac comes back, you're not beating a giant by playing Nyheim Hines.
Well, no, but if you're going to play Nyheim Hines, he's going to be, I think at this point, if you're in the playoffs, you have the knowledge enough to understand he's a flex for you. In PPR against a team like the Saints or Tampa Bay, who score often, you know, the pass catching back is the one I look for, because I don't think Mac would catch many balls with coming off a broken hand.
So our last running back, the last guy we're going to talk about here, Miles Sanders, he's got the Giants, he's got Washington, he's got Dallas. He had a good game against a bad team. Are you willing to keep him going if Howard is out? He had 83 ground yards, caught 5 passes for 22.
Yeah, they trust him. They want him to be the stud. So as long as Howard's out, sure. I mean, Ajayi is getting no love at all. But yeah, he's going to get work. So he's another one of those guys. You didn't draft him earlier. I hope you didn't at least. He's going to be a flex option for you, and you're just going to hope for the best. A flex option with a lot of work.
So I've got to say, I do trust him. Here's his numbers without Jordan Howard. He's been in on 86% of the snaps. He's gotten 73% of running back carries, 100% of running back targets, 100% of touches inside the 10. The guy has been their running back option since Howard's been out. They don't want to give Ajayi the ball. Ajayi's there just in case Sanders gets hurt. So in that case, for sure, especially if Howard's out, I trust him. But the longer this goes with Howard, you know, let's say Howard's out next week and Miles Sanders shows out again, I could trust him again the next week, even if Howard's back, because now he's proven he's a good quality running back. So, and especially with his matchups of the Giants and Washington the next 2 weeks, give me that guy. Here's the great thing about having Miles Sanders and trusting him and starting him against New York Giants and Washington. you could potentially go out and get yourself somebody like Darius Geis if he's still on the waiver wire. Probably not at this point. But if you, let's say you have Geis, you have Miles Sanders. New York Giants and Washington for Miles Sanders. And if you make it to the championship game, you get Geis against the Giants. You can mix and match. And that's perfect. So wide receivers, the first one I'm going to mention is Tyler Boyd. Somebody you said would be a third on most teams. I think he's a solid second. But he's got Cleveland, New England, and Miami. Two out of the three are good matchups. New England's tough. He'll likely see a lot of Gilmore. His last two games, he's had 10 receptions, 160 yards, and two touchdowns. So is he back with Dalton starting? Or is this kind of a short-lived bump in his stats?
I think with Dalton starting, he's definitely back, just not against New England.
Yep. So I think you're with me. You trust him against Cleveland. You trust him against Miami. You can't play him against New England. This next guy hurts my heart. He's my favorite rookie of the year. It's Terry McLaurin. Now he's got Green Bay. He's got Philly and the Giants. He's got two of three really good matchups. Green Bay is not as scary as you thought they were at the beginning of the season. He's averaging 4 catches a game. He's open on every play, but Haskins is holding him back. So Terry McLaurin, do you trust him?
It sucks because he is open on every play. He's so talented. I don't like Haskins clearly isn't developed as a quarterback yet. And this is why I still think they should start Case Keenum, because Keenum throws to the open guy, which is kind of what you need to do. I do trust him, though. The Skins will be down. They're going to need to throw a lot. The Redskins' O-line actually has been looking better to me. They've been playing some scrub teams, but fingers crossed, hope for the best.
Well, it's funny how when you get a Pro Bowler, a Pro Bowl tackle back from a holdout and he gets into game shape, how your team looks a little bit better on offensive line. But
yeah,
I still can't trust him because, like we talked about, Haskins is missing wide open wide receivers. Only got 127 yards. McLaurin got, I think, 8 yards on 4 catches. I don't know. It was bad. Whatever it was just bad. So, unfortunately, I can't trust him as much as I love him.
You have to keep in mind, too, against, like, the game script was the run was so effective. They didn't really need to throw. Against Green Bay, that's not going to be a thing. The run game may be okay because Green Bay's run defense does have holes in it, but Green Bay is going to score on them. The Redskins are terrible, and Aaron Rodgers loves running up the scoreboard.
So here's my problem, and then I saw a stat. So since they played the Dolphins in Week 6, they haven't had a wide receiver score a touchdown. That includes Terry McLaurin. Now, his stats in the last several games, the best he's played was against the Lions, 5 for 72, which is serviceable. The Jets, 3 for 69. 4 for 39 against the Bills, 4 for 39 against the Vikings, 1 for 11 against the 49ers. Some tough matchups there for sure, but a lot of those games, Haskins came in and played 2 receptions for 8 yards, I apologize, against the Panthers. There's just, and yes, it was game script 100%, but it's also just Haskins being Haskins, and I struggle to think that he's going to get that much better even against some weaker talent. Next on the list is Robbie Anderson, Miami, Baltimore, Pittsburgh. 2 bad matchups out of 3. This first week, really good plus matchup against Miami. He looked good the last 2 games. He's had 187 yards over those 2 game span. He's averaged 5.5 catches and 2 touchdowns in the last 3 weeks. So Robbie Anderson's been up and down this year. Do you trust him?
This week and then no more.
Yeah, I completely agree. And that goes with Sam Darnold. Even though he played badly against the Bengals, I could see starting him against Miami and Robbie Anderson getting a stack. Hopefully they pull it out for you. They play like they did 2 weeks ago, and they don't play like they did against the Bengals. So DJ Chark with Minshew back. He's got the LA Chargers, Oakland, and Atlanta. 3 really good games. He had a couple of bad weeks. He's had only 7 catches in the last 2 weeks. Do you think he's going to be better with Minshew?
I think the only thing that hurts him is that Fournette's actually reestablished himself as a good running back. But under Minshew, 100%, I'd start him.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that hurts him is that DeeDee Westbrook's actually coming into his own again. Like, DeeDee Westbrook's becoming a thing again. So there's more targets going to another wide receiver. So with targets going underneath to Fournette and then down the field a little bit to DeeDee Westbrook, DJ Chark's had less targets over the last several weeks, but I think with Minshew coming back, DJ Chark going down the field is going to be a thing again, and I can trust him, especially with these matchups in the next 3 weeks. This is the big one. This is a guy that, if you listen to us, I think 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, I told you this guy could be a league winner going through the playoffs. It started this week. And he's been good over the last several weeks. Devontae Parker with the New York Jets, New York Giants, and Cincinnati upcoming. He's averaging 7 receptions and 128 yards in the last 3 weeks. We called him the potential league winner. Did you know since week 6, he's the number 4 wide receiver in that time? With all that said, Devontae Parker, do you trust him?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much else to say. You know, Devontae Parker's made a name for himself for not being a good wide receiver over the last several years. If you actually looked at his game film, if you looked at some of the stuff, he's been open. The quarterback play's been bad. He's made some terrible drops along the way that gave him the name. But this year, he's played lights out. He's got the Jets, the Giants, and Cincinnati. He's got a quarterback willing to throw the ball up to him. Again, I'm going to stick by he's a potential league winner for exactly the reason why we saw this week against the Eagles, because he is taller than a lot of the DBs. He is willing to go up. I think, look, I can't speak highly enough of what I think of Parker for the next 3 weeks.
Well, I mean, we can play a quick game like Parker or McLaurin.
Parker.
I'd agree with Parker. Robbie Anderson or Parker, I'd go Parker. There's like quite a few. Tyler Boyd.
Parker.
I don't know. Against the Patriots, when Boyd plays Patriots, definitely. But you have to remember, Andy Dalton was, before he was pulled, he was the number 4 quarterback in yards. So he throws the ball. But Boyd is the only one who it's like, besides that Patriots matchup, he looks pretty nice.
So we're going to rush through these tight ends because tight ends are a crapshoot. We find that out every week. I don't know that I trust any tight end out of the top 3 or 4 guys. But with that said, O.J. Howard finally had himself a game. He was 5 for 61. He didn't catch a touchdown. Before that, the 2 games total combined was 1 catch for 10 yards. He's got Indianapolis, Detroit, and Houston to round out the season. You can't trust him, can you, Max?
If you started Hawkinson, 100% can trust him.
That's true. That's actually true.
Right? But realistically, I mean, yeah, actually, if you're in a 10-team league and you have a weak tight end, O.J. Howard probably is your tight end. I'd go for Jack Doyle, but...
That's my next guy. Don't get ahead of us.
All right, sorry. O.J. Howard, you flip a coin, you hope for the best.
So, you previewed it a little bit there. Jack Doyle has Tampa Bay, awful against tight ends. New Orleans, okay against tight ends. Carolina has been bad against tight ends. 6 receptions, 73 yards, 1 touchdown this last game. There's no Hilton, there's no Ebron, there's no Rodgers. Add to that some of the running back shuffle because of Mac's injury. He might be their most reliable option. So with Jack Doyle out there, do you trust him?
100%. Until he lost his starting job, he was almost a guaranteed start every week if you had him on his team, if you had him as your tight end. Doyle's a beast.
I agree. I liked him going into last season before they picked up Ebron. He was good 2 years ago. Being the sole target is going to make him good again. So I'm happy to see that he's going to get some play there. He's finally healthy. Last guy we're going to talk about is Ryan Griffin. He's got Miami, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh. He's got a touchdown in 2 of 3 weeks. Even his worst week was 8 points. For a tight end, that's not awful, especially when you get out of the top, say, 6 guys. So he's got Miami next week, but then tough matchups against Baltimore and Pittsburgh. Can you trust him?
Yeah, they use him a lot. And yeah, tight ends suck to answer these questions because there's no one on the wire. So if you have him on your team, you have to trust him because your next best bet's going to be Higbee, who... God knows.
Yeah, and you don't know whether Higbee was just a symptom of playing against Arizona. We're going to jump into the game that we started last week. I only got one question for you, Max, because I know we want to get out and watch this game tonight. So I'm going to get you out with this one. How well do you know week 14?
Oh, God. No. Yeah.
Max, who was the number 1 scorer this week in full PPR.
All right. Number one scorer in full PPR. Man, I knew this last week. Why gotta do this to me right now?
It's only one this week, Max. It's only one.
I know. I'm racking my brain.
Now, keep in mind, this won't count the Monday night game.
It's not. I want to say Cole Beasley. I know it's not, but he was just such a stud that I want to say Cole Beasley. I just don't know who it would be. Because I'm trying to think of, like, someone sneaky, like a running back who did well. But, like, Cole Beasley had a nice game. 49 did Debo. Debo had a decent game.
And one touchdown, but only two catches.
Yeah, but, like, I'm trying to think, like, Jarvis Landry had an okay game.
It was not Jarvis Landry. I'm gonna let you off here. I'm gonna get you out of your misery. I'm gonna tell you who it is. They played poorly all game until the fourth quarter, garbage time. It's like they almost didn't want to cover him. They didn't want to tackle. They didn't want to catch him.
Oh my god, it was Julian Edelman.
No, it was James White. According to what I'm looking at right here, not 39 points, but 37.7 leads all players. Devontae Parker, Robert Woods was third. Then Deshaun Watson, Alshon Jeffrey. Lots of good players there, but James White. And the thing about this is, if you were watching this game and turned it off after three quarters, you thought James White gave you a shit week. Fourth quarter, they didn't try to stop him. They were just, the defense was just over it. So that is how well do you know week 13. I'm going to continue to stump you. This time it's only one question. Next time you might get... couple more.
See, I do with this like what I do in DFS. I set a lineup and I'm like, oh, it's a good lineup. But what if I pick this guy instead of this guy? And then I get and I swear to God, every time I'll watch a game and be like, why? Why did I change my lineup? I had it perfect. But you know, that's just who I am. That's how it is.
Well, so we're gonna clear this out. We're gonna get you out so you can go watch your game. We're closing out week 13. We're going to welcome all you listeners into the playoffs. Because you've been listening to us, I know you've made the playoffs. I'm Jason with SleeperWire. I've got Max here with me. You can follow SleeperWire at The SleeperWire Show. Check out all our shows on the SleeperWire Network. Tuesday and Wednesdays, we have live shows on Mixlr. You can check out our Friday show with Professor Chris. And Sunday with me, George, Rob Rose, and Dirty Jobs Mike, which is a start-sit advice live show called The Blitz. Max, have a good night. Go enjoy some football.
Let's go, Seahawks.